Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Because see, we live in a society where it's actually easier when something is needing repair, it's easier to get a new one than it is to repair it. Isn't that right? That's how our consumerism works. So we start throwing stuff away. And if we're not careful, we start throwing away relationships that we should have held on to. You see, we let go of what we should have held on to. And we hold on to stuff we should have let go a long time ago. And we mix it up.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. This week we've been featuring two messages given at New Year's a while back. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of looking for what needs to be repaired and then fixing it. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, Four Resolutions.
You're always going to have unanswered questions. I remember when my mother died, I was actually studying for the priesthood. And I was a sophomore in high school, and they put us in a special high school where you learn Latin and all of these things to get ready for the priesthood. And my mom was here at Kuakini, and she needed dialysis because she had a kidney problem. In those days, they didn't have enough dialysis machines to go around. So they had to select the candidates worthy to be on the few machines that they had, and my mom was not chosen. So within a few weeks, she just bloated up and passed away. Boy, when that happened, I'd been praying and praying and praying for healing. And when she died, I was mad at Hawaii, mad at the medicine world. It wasn't their fault. I was mad at God. And it took me several years to get over this. But I was mad. Why did this divorce happen, I thought. Why did my dad then die after that? I thought, this is crazy. And I was struggling and struggling and struggling with it until I remember a man said, don't try to change the grammar of God. I thought, what? Yeah, he said, don't put a question mark where God has put a period. If you keep putting question marks where God puts periods, you're going to have question marks all over your life. And you're not going to be able to resolve all of those. You're constantly going to be wondering. And he says, you cannot progress beyond the point where if you don't understand something, you're going to just delay until you do. You can't. You have to have a faith that's beyond your understanding. Because you won't understand everything. If you wait till you do, it'll mess your life up. Some years ago, I was called by a pastor because he was in a debate with his youth pastor because a third person in the congregation had done something that had offended this youth pastor to the point. Now, the pastor didn't do it. A third person did it. So this youth pastor was so mad because this pastor should have reprimanded him more severely, should have excommunicated him from the church, should have caused justice to take place. Well, they were so polarized in this debacle and debate that I was called in to mediate. Now, we spent 5 hours trying to resolve this. I was so tired when it was done. But yet, this youth pastor said, no, it's got to be done this way. Remember I said to you, if you want God to work things out your way, you're going to live a disappointing life. And sure enough, after we dismissed, let me fast forward the tape. This young youth pastor lost his job, lost his ministry. A little while later, he and his wife got a divorce. And I don't even know if he's attending a church today. His whole life imploded because he demanded answers before he could move forward. I used to be that way. When I see someone doing something wrong, I just say, whoa, if that's how Christianity is, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. And then I would just sort of slow down my walk with God until finally I hear something. Oh, that's what happened. Oh. Okay, and then I'd start walking again with God, and then something else would happen. I'd say, well, if that's how those Christians act, I don't want to be one of those. And then later on, God would resolve it somehow. Oh, okay, all right. And then I'd start up again. And one day the Lord said to me, stop. If you have to understand and comprehend everything before your forward progress begins again, you're going to be miles behind the promises that I have for you. Instead, he says, take that question, write it down, put it in a basket in your head, and just keep following me. And if something else happens that you don't know and understand, put it in that basket, but keep following me, because you know what's going to happen? As you keep doing devotions, as we do here at New Hope, you're going to read something and you'll say, that's it. God's going to pull a question out of that basket and say, you remember when you were stumped because of this? There it is right there. And you'll go, that's the answer, huh? The Lord will check that off. But you will have continued to follow Christ. And when all your questions get answered, you'll be miles ahead. I was in the elevator the other week, just about 3 weeks ago. And it was coming down, and there was a man already in the elevator. When it opened up, I pushed lobby at the condo where I live, and we started going down, and this man goes, hey, you that pastor on TV? I said, yeah, and I made a joke. It probably was a slow day, and they didn't have anything to put on, so they put me on. And he asked me a question. He said, hey, why is it that when you try so hard, you're working so hard, and then you get sick, your marriage goes bad, and you lose your job? Why does God allow that? I said, what? He said, yeah, why does God allow that? Just then we hit lobby and it went ding. I thought, praise the Lord. And he stopped me. He said, no, why, why? And I answered him in the most spiritual way I could. I think I learned this from Bible school. I turned around and said, I don't know. And that wasn't very pastoral of me. And he probably won't come to New Hope because of that answer. But you know what? I think that is one of the more spiritual things that you can do, because you and I have to be okay with saying, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just putting it in that basket and it'll be just swinging in the breeze. And you know, sometimes it overflows and I have to take that and put it into a file cabinet. And I have to be okay with that, because as I continue following God, he's going to open that cabinet and pull one out and say, remember when you were wondering about this? You see what you're reading right there in Proverbs? Does that say, oh yeah, Lord, that's it. And I journal on it. You understand? And then you begin to comprehend more, but your lack of comprehension does not determine the speed with which you get to walk into his promises. Because it's beyond what we can comprehend. And so can I encourage you to do this? Would you write in your notes there, develop an I don't know file. When you come to something that just stumps you and you can't figure it out, you just put it in your I don't know file and you keep following God, because I promise you that if you're faithful, God is going to pull that out one day and say, remember this, let me show you right in what you're reading. And God's word, as Hebrews 4 says, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit, thoughts and intentions. And then it says this, and nothing is hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare before him with whom we have to do. So he's going to open everything to us as the word of God floods into our hearts. So don't let your lack of comprehension stop your walk with Christ. Have a file or a basket where you put stuff in that you're questioning, and don't let it impede you, because he's going to be moving in your life in ways that are more than the eye can see. Proverbs chapter 20 tells us that. See, you can't Sherlock God. You can't just figure him out, because the scripture says, my ways are higher than your ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. So don't try to figure it out. I'll let you know when you're ready and you have the maturity to be able to receive what I'm able to say, I will show it to you. I can figure it out. I can deal with it. You just got to trust me. Let it go and trust me. When you let it go, it's not capitulation. It's an act of faith. Let's read what Proverbs 20 says. Go. Men's steps are ordained by the Lord. So why try to understand everything along the way? Yeah. And when you know that the bottom line is God's going to work on your behalf, you rest. You let go of the worry and the fear. You're sure you're going to pray, but God, you have veto rights. Even if you don't, I'm good to go. I trust you. And when you do, remember this, then you can be confident that things don't just happen to you because God's involved and he's going to work it out for good. Listen, it doesn't happen to you. Things will happen for you because God's involved. And when he's involved, he can take even that was meant for evil and turn it out for good. But you got to let it go. You see, God has promised us beauty for ashes. But he will not be able to give you beauty until you let go of the ashes. Psalm 61 continues, and he says, I will give you the oil of gladness for your mourning. Well, God cannot give you the oil of gladness until you let go of the mourning. You see, sometimes there's going to be a death of a loved one, and there'll be a season of mourning. But if you're not careful, you'll hold on what you should have let go of. And that season of mourning will turn into a lifestyle of mourning and then a lifelong of mourning. So God cannot give you the oil of gladness until you give up the mourning. Is it a capitulation? No, it's an act of trust that God, you know what's best and you'll work all things together and you have my future at your heart. And it continues and he says, and I will give you a garment for praise for the spirit of heaviness. God cannot give you a garment of praise until you're willing to let go of the spirit of heaviness. And I want our church to have the oil of gladness. Then we must give up mourning. I want our church to have the garment of praise. So we've got to give up and let go of the spirit of heaviness. And I want our church to have beauty for ashes. So we have to learn to let go. The other resolution we want to make is we have to learn not only what to let go of, but we have to learn what to hold on to. Hold on to. And let's take a look at this. Some people say, well, wait a minute, Wayne, the stuff that I got, it's all messed up. Look at my marriage. Look at my relationships. Look at my faith. Yep. But you still have to hold on to it. Because, see, we live in a society where it's actually easier when something is needing repair, it's easier to get a new one than it is to repair it. Isn't that right? That's how our consumerism works. So we start throwing stuff away. And if we're not careful, we start throwing away relationships that we should have held on to. You see, we let go of what we should have held on to. And we hold on to stuff we should have let go of a long time ago. And we mix it up. And God is saying, no, no. If there's something I've asked you to hold on to, would you write your second resolution of the year? Here it is. Look for what I must repair and hold on to. What I must repair and hold on to. There's a story of this guy that had a lot of tree cuttings from his yard. And he was doing some cleanup, some spring cleanup, and pruned a bunch of trees. And so the back of this pickup was just bulging with all these cuttings from the trees. And not having enough ropes to tie everything down, he had one of the workers in the back just spread-eagled on everything, just holding all of this stuff down. And as they were going down the road, a car was following, and the little boy turned to his mother in the car that was following this truck, and he said to his mother, look, Mom, they're throwing away a perfectly good human being. And sometimes we do that, don't we? Things that we need to repair, we throw away and we let go when we should have held on to. You see, when I have a nice set of clothes that needs some, has a hole in it or a button that needs repairing, I don't throw it away. I take it to an alteration shop and they take care of it. So what I'm talking about is the things that God has called us to hold on to, we don't want amputation, we need alteration. Not amputation. But in our society, it's amputation better than alteration. No, if God has called you to hold on to something, you repair it. Let's read what it says here in the scripture and you'll see. 1 Peter 5:7, go. Cast your cares upon the Lord for he... Yeah, the first cares, would you circle that word? Cast your cares. He didn't say cast your responsibilities. He said cast your what? Yeah, the worries about your responsibilities, the fears about your future, the self-pity, the regret. No, he didn't say cast your responsibilities. He said cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. See, often we want to throw those away. No, God is saying, no, throw the worry away. Let go of the fear, the demand that things have to turn out your way. And trust that God will work everything together for good. You know why? Listen carefully. Because God is completely aware of everything that's going on in your life. Absolutely, completely aware. And so what do? Well, I can't take care of this, but I can take care of this. All right, is this your responsibility? Yes. Then you do what you can, and God will take over where you can't. Otherwise, we'll try to do what God only can do, and we throw away what we're supposed to do. No, God says this, don't focus on what you cannot change, focus on what you can change. That's it. And once you do what you can, it releases me to do what I can. But you've got to let that go. And I'll take care of the rest. It's called trust and faith. It's in Mark chapter 14, where a woman came to Simon's house. She opened up a bottle of very expensive perfume and poured it all over Jesus. Now, there were some people indignant on the side, and they were talking to one another. You know what they said? They said, what a waste. What a waste. We could have sold that oil and given the money to the poor. Sounds more spiritual, doesn't it? Sounds holier. They didn't intend to do that. They just wanted to grumble. We could have sold that and given the money to the poor. And Jesus stopped and turned to them and said, you leave her alone. She's done a good thing. In fact, let's read it here. Would you read it with me? Go. She has done a good thing. She has done what she could. Remember that. He continues and he says this, and from now on, wherever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her. And I looked at that and I said, this is amazing. You mean to tell me wherever the gospel is going to be preached, what this woman just did doesn't seem like much, but what she did is going to be spoken of in partnership with the gospel? That's right. That's a part of the gospel. And what are you talking about? Here's the gospel, that it's a partnership with you and God, that in relationship with Jesus Christ, you trust him to do what he can do while you do what we can do. That's the gospel. It's not us disqualifying ourselves, or it's not us just observing or being passive. It's us partnering with Christ, but understanding what he can only do and trusting him, and me taking up the responsibility of what I'm supposed to do. Now, what do you mean? Well, it's sort of like this. Let's say you've been praying for a promotion. God, give me a promotion. All right, do what you can do. What do you mean? Get to work on time. Why pray for a promotion when you bag out? God is saying, I ain't giving you nothing. But she has done what she could. So now watch what I do, and I'll do what I can. The partnership of those two is the gospel. It's a partnership, not a one-way street. So you're praying for a promotion. God says, do what you can do. What's that? Get to work on time. Do a better job than anyone else. Work harder than anyone else. Bring with you a great attitude. Do it with a spirit of excellence. Don't wait for people to kick you in the bottom. Initiate, be industrious, innovative, be entrepreneurial, add value to your company. Because the Bible says this, Psalm 75, verse 10, promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west. Promotion cometh from the Lord. He raises one up and puts another down. So who's watching? Your boss? I don't care. God is, and promotion cometh from the Lord, not from men. You understand? Then we do what we can. God says, now watch what I'll do. I'll do what I can, and we'll work together on this. So you say, well, what if I don't get the promotion? then you keep working with that attitude to prove to God that you're not working with this kind of mentality just to get a promotion. You're not bowing down to a golden idol. You're not doing this for mammon or money. You're doing this because God has shown you the gospel. And we're a people of the good news. And so I begin to develop that kind of character and work habit and ethic. Well, I don't know, someone once said to me, I'm making $15 an hour, but I think I'm $100 an hour person. So I said, well, good. Then you should start working as if you were a $100 an hour person. He said, why should I? He said, if they're only giving me $15, that's why I act like 15. I said, then that's why you're getting 15. And probably that's too much. What? Yeah, that's right. You see, if you want, you got to give it first. And then the promotion follows. You don't chase success. Success follows you. You don't go to a fireplace and say, give me heat, and then I'll give you wood. No. You become someone that works as if you were being paid $100, and guess what happens? God sees that. Now, if there's no promotion, you keep going because you're serving God, not mammon. And you're proving to God that you're developing your heart of industriousness and a work ethic on behalf of God as His servant, not on behalf of mammon to serve it. And then God begins to move, because promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west. Promotion cometh from the Lord. He raises one up and puts another down. So you do what you can do that releases God to do what He can do, and you trust Him for the rest. And then we begin to understand that God's rewards and promises are true. You let go what you need to let go of. You anchor yourself in the future, not the past. And you take your responsibility and you do well and trust God to do His. Give Him veto rights, because His ways are higher than our ways, and He knows what's best. And when you do that, it's called faith. What? That? Because Hebrews says it this way, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God has promises for you. Let's tap into it. And when it all comes to pass, and you turn around one day, you'll see, because you're trusting God, He will have worked all things together for your good. That's why we can be a people that are fruitful, because our faith is more than the eye can see. Amen. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Four Resolutions by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, Spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media, and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. We encourage you to support this radio ministry as we continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You can give online at enewhope.org. Just click on the Giving tab and designate your gift for the radio and TV ministries. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the Giving tab. As you do, Philippians 4:17 says, "The fruit of this ministry will abound to your account." Mahalo, and God bless you. We invite you to visit our online store for more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. His books, music, messages, the life journal we at New Hope follow. Go to enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. Your purchase will strengthen you in your Christian walk, and it will also support the ministry of New Hope as we take the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
New Hope Oahu is excited to announce open enrollment for its preschool, Kulia Christian Academy, located at New Hope Oahu's Sand Island campus. Limited space is available for the current school year for students ages 3 through 5. KCA is also accepting applications for the 2023-2024 school year and will be adding a two-year-old program in the fall 2023. KCA is an affordable full-day program that strives to inspire and equip children to grow academically, socially, and spiritually in a Christ-centered environment. For more information or to enroll your child, visit our website at kuliachristian.org.